Welcome, everyone. The conference is about to begin. Please note, today's call is being recorded. Please stand by.
Hello, everyone. This is Julie Trocchia with the Catholic Health Association. Welcome to this Catholic Health Association call on human trafficking. This is a networking conference call. We have a couple folks who are going to be reporting on what they're doing, but no big formal presentations. This is an opportunity for you to talk with others, to ask questions about what people are doing, and to update us on things that are going on in your area. For our opening reflection, we have a prayer by the Sisters of Christian Charity. If we could all remember that we are always in the presence of our loving God, let us pray. O God, our words cannot express what our minds can barely comprehend and our hearts feel. When we hear of your children deceived and transported to unknown places to be abused because of human greed and profit, we cry out against the degrading practice of human trafficking and pray for it to end. Strengthen the fragile-spirited and the broken-hearted. Make real promises to fill these victims with a love that is tender and good, and to send the exploiters away empty-handed. Give us the wisdom and courage to stand in solidarity with these your children on the margins, that together we may find ways to the freedom that is your gift to all of us. We ask this through you, our Creator. Amen. The first person you're going to hear from today is Melissa Hastings. She's a policy advisor to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And Melissa is going to fill us in on what the Catholic bishops have been doing in this area and some legislative proposals. Melissa, thank you so much for taking some time to be with us and to share what's going on at USCCB. It's all yours.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the line today. I just wanted to, as has been said, I wanted to share some of our updates on our work. As some of you may have seen, there's been a notice of proposed rulemaking to amend the federal acquisition regulation to include a definition of recruitment fees in the section on combating human trafficking. So per the 2015 amendments to the FAR, federal contractors are prohibited from charging workers these fees. And this proposed rulemaking is requesting and seeking public comments on their proposed definition. So that's something that you all are welcome to take a look at. I can send out the link afterwards if you're interested. They do have specific questions that they're hoping to get comments on regarding the proposed definition. The time frame is coming up fairly quickly. We have comments due on July 11th. And this is something that USCCB is looking into right now and considering making comments on. Another issue, as many of you may know, the care of unaccompanied children has been an issue that received a lot of attention after the Ohio trafficking case last year. So USCCB and five other organizations have been working together on a recommendations paper to ensure that unaccompanied children are not trafficked or otherwise placed in unsafe settings. One of our recommendations is to expand home studies for children. As some of you may know, currently only 6% of children receive these home studies prior to placement, and we'll also be requesting, among other recommendations, expanded PRS services, post-release services. So that's one of the other items we're working on. I also wanted to mention that in conjunction with the Coalition of Catholic Organizations Against Human Trafficking, we engaged in a national postcard campaign this spring against human trafficking in our seafood supply chains, and this was during Lent. The coalition created and distributed two postcards. One was addressed to Costco. The other was addressed to StarKist, and we asked that the companies do everything in their power to guarantee that their supply chains are free from forced labor. So we were really happy with the turnout we got of that and the number of postcards that were sent in. So those are some of the updates of what we've been working on. I'd be happy to take questions, but I also wanted to share a few brief legislative updates. We still don't have a timeline for the introduction of the TVPRA, but we are planning to meet with staffers from Chris Smith's office. They've expressed interest in meeting with us. So we will likely have some more insight that we can share with you all after we touch base, likely in the next week or two. In addition, the Senate passed last week its version of the National Defense Authorization Act that included a handful of provisions relating to trafficking. Included was the In Modern Slavery Initiative, which was a slimmed down version of the bill that was originally introduced by Corker. This allowed for funds to be directed to the In Modern Slavery Initiative Foundation, which is a nonprofit registered in D.C., which will be implementing projects in various countries to combat human trafficking. The bill, as passed by the Senate, also requires the Secretary of Defense to implement guidelines to ensure that the armed forces receive education and training on human trafficking. It would also require a GAO report on the effectiveness of current anti-human trafficking programs. So the next step for this bill will be to go into conference to resolve the differences with the House-passed version. And finally, I just wanted to mention the House Homeland Security Appropriations Bill. It's actually being marked up in the full House Appropriations Committee this morning. The subcommittee's report contained language on trafficking, expressing support for ongoing efforts to combat human trafficking, including encouraging DHS to work with NGOs to provide trafficking training to personnel in the relevant DHS branches, including ICE and CBP. It encouraged participation in the anti-trafficking campaign, the Blue Campaign, and also encouraged use of continued presence requests by ICE for victims who are potential witnesses in trafficking investigations. And that concludes my updates from USCCB. Thank you.
Oh, that was a wealth of information. Very interesting to hear about the legislation. I might just add that, if anyone has any questions for Melissa, this would be a good time to ask her about legislation or other activities at the Bishop's Conference. And while we're waiting to hear if there are any, Melissa, I was recently reading something from Healthcare Without Harm. They have a policy brief on food. And while they've always been concerned about the full all the environmental implications of the food chain, they include in their materials the social justice implications of procurement. Where did the food come from? Did it come under forced labor? Or so when you're looking at your food supply, to look at where your food is coming from. So I think that's a very important aspect. It's good to hear you talk about that.
Absolutely. And that's great. I apologize. I'll have to take a look at that report, though. Thank you.
Oh, I'd be glad to send it to you. Brittany, do we have any questions for Melissa?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1 to ask an audio question, and we'll pause for just a moment.
Melissa, let me ask you, you talked about refugees and unaccompanied minors. Is that a serious problem? Is the scope of the problem pretty great of children who are being coming into this country and then falling into human trafficking?
We are concerned about it, yes. It received a lot of attention both this spring and last summer, with a trafficking case where children were released from the office, the ORR care, to traffickers. It was a Ohio egg farm trafficking case. And so it's been a question that we've been getting a lot of attention regarding. And it is a problem. Of course, ORR is well positioned to care for these kids. But without the, without widespread screening and home studies and post-relief services, we are concerned that some of these children are being placed in unsafe settings. So absolutely, and that's something that we are really pushing for, and we're going to be meeting with ORR to share our recommendations, and hopefully we can see some expanded protections for these children.
Well, if there are opportunities for Catholic Health Association or anyone who's on this call to sign into letters to participate in some of the things you talked about, be sure to let us know because we can put it on our website. Be glad
to
do that.
Thank you.
Brittany, do we have any calls or questions?
We do have a question from the line of Peter McCourt.
Hi, can you hear me, Julie?
Sure can.
Hi. It took about 6 minutes to get in through this conference line today for some reason. So I missed I missed most of what Melissa shared. Is that going to be written out for us somewhere? I'm particularly interested in the legislative elements of it as we're looking at our advocacy priorities for next year. Is the summary going to be published?
We will make available the the audio of this call, so you haven't missed it. You can hear it the second time around. But Melissa, is there a written summary on your website or someplace else of all these legislative proposals that are going on?
So, you know, we don't have a written summary on our website, but what I'd be happy to do is just write up a quick summary of the updates, and I can also include the link to the notice of proposed rulemaking in case others are interested in submitting comments on that as well. And I can include the legislative updates, the two bills that I mentioned there as well.
That's
great.
Very helpful. Thank you.
We'll put it on our website. We'll also send it to the network, but put it up on our website. Thanks, Melissa, for doing that.
Sure.
Brittany, any other calls or questions?
Yes, we have a question from Bonnie Price.
Hey, Bonnie. Go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you. When you were talking about the trafficking in minors, we've experienced an issue regarding that, but it's related to our domestic trafficking. And we're having difficulty with some of our Child Protective Service agencies wanting to get involved. And so I'm the director of a forensic program, and so it creates some real issues with obtaining consent. For exams and forensic exams and so forth. So I was just wondering, is there any legislation on that end of it, on the domestic trafficking?
You know, there's none that I've seen on that end, but I'm happy, you know, if that does come up, I can also check in with our Office of Government Relations and see if they're aware of anything in the works. It's nothing that I've seen that's been introduced yet, but I can keep you all updated and check in.
Thank you.
During the general question and answer section, we can ask if anyone else has had experience and has any suggestions for you. Brittany, any other calls on the line?
There are no further questions.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Melissa. Lots of great information. And now we are delighted to hear from Sister Ann Vickery. Sister Ann is the educational coordinator on the Collaborative to End Human Trafficking. And she's going to talk a bit about the Collaborative, but also to fill you in on what the preparations for Cleveland, in addition to the big celebration today and the championship, but the other big event that's expected. Sister Ann, thank you for being with us. It's all open for you.
Thank you very much for having me. And actually, I would prefer, before I talk about what we're doing in Cleveland, to talk about what the U.S. Catholic Sisters Against Human Trafficking are doing. I believe that was one of the requests that I got when I was asked to do this. So on behalf of U.S. Catholic Sisters, I'm just delighted to tell you that we're a relatively new organization that has membership from across the country. Our board of directors, we just became a 501c3, so now we have an official board and officers, et cetera. And by default, I'm the president because the other two people are secretary and treasurer, and they had been doing that already. So I have the privilege of serving as president of the organization. We started in about 2013 when we were invited to the president's faith-based initiatives report on human trafficking. And as a result of that, that was the first time those of us working on the issue had been in connection with one another and decided that we needed to continue the connections because we thought we could probably network with each other, share resources, and accommodate needs where perhaps the needs aren't being met. So we've been meeting once a year in person and once a year on the phone, and in between we have very active working groups addressing education and survivor support and communication and legislative advocacy. Those kinds of things are very active. So I'm pleased to tell you that We have been in existence since 2013. We're very active in direct services, education and advocacy on the issue of human trafficking in various ways across the country. It depends on who's available, who's doing what. And at this point, we have a board of directors that is about 15 members, but we have 100 members of the organization now. So we're just growing the organization. An active website that contains very current information, a Facebook page that also does that. And we would invite you to check us out at sistersagainsttrafficking.org. A lot of good information there. But we are really delighted to be able to do this because now the United States can also participate as a member of the international network of religious women and men working on the issue of human trafficking. That group is called Talitha Kum, and you may have heard of it. It's associated with the UISG in Rome, and so the superiors general from across the world initiated Talitha Kum, and that group has become very active as well. So it gives us the international connection as well, and that's important. In terms of what's going on in Cleveland, the Collaborative to End Human Trafficking has been doing this work since 2007, and we started as a collaboration of women religious communities in the area who heard about the issue and were just flabbergasted that it was going on and we had never heard of it. So decided that we would meet until we figured out what we could do. So the collaborative's mission is really to educate and advocate for the prevention and abolition of human trafficking while connecting services on behalf of trafficked persons. So we're holding up the education and advocacy piece of that. And we meet very regularly now, at least monthly, right now more than monthly, with all the social service agencies, law enforcement, healthcare, who are addressing the issue of human trafficking. And that's been a wonderful growing partnership. I believe we have 28 agencies involved with us now, specifically to create the safety net that is really needed. We want to have a coordinated response, and so our efforts right now, especially in light of big events coming to town, is that everybody knows how to respond. Everybody knows what to do. So our law enforcement folks are saying the first stop will be a hospital with any suspected victim. So, of course, our hospitals have to know. So we've been working in the greater Cleveland area to get the four health systems in Cleveland to have common guidelines that they will follow. And our video on that will be out, I hope, by July 1st. Every month I say, I hope it's going to be out this month. And we've had a few little snags that we had to correct, so we're almost there, which should be very helpful. The video will be embedded into the learning networks of the four health systems in Cleveland, and it will be accompanied by a resource manual that goes more in-depth about what do you do, what do you look for, how do you respond, how do you even interact with a person who may be being trafficked. So that's part of the initiative that's going on, in addition to a public awareness campaign. So as of, I believe, July 1st, we will have new billboards and bus signs up prior to the convention coming to town that just say human trafficking happens here too. So that campaign is going on, and U.S. Catholic Sisters helped to sponsor some of those, that public awareness effort. And we also have a group that has been working on educating the hospitality industry, in particular the hotels in the area, so that when the big group is in town, what do you look for? How do you respond? And a lot of that, what has happened with a lot of this is people are really working together, which is the whole point in any complex issue like this. It's not just one group that can handle it, and it's not one persuasion or one faith tradition. It really involves everybody because of its complex human rights issues. So there's a whole lot going on. Our education efforts are huge. As a collaborative, we're very small, two of us work full-time and one part-time, and we've trained some people as speakers, so they really help us spread the word. And to date, since 2007, we've done over 1,800 presentations and have reached over 70,000 people. But, you know, that's still not enough. There are more people that still don't know. So I hope I've covered both topics, and I'd be interested in questions and comments.
Oh, you certainly have. And Brittany, if you could remind people how they can ask a question or comment on what Sister Anne has just been talking about.
Absolutely. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad.
Sister Anne, you said that the Sisters Against Human Trafficking have an annual meeting. Is that open to other people? Can you tell us when and where that's going to be?
Our meeting will be it's really like a board meeting, so it's not real open. We meet in Washington, D.C., and part of the agenda is continue to get to know one another and support each other's efforts. Part of the agenda is some learning for us because we are a very new organization, and we need to learn this time how to work better as now a board. And what does that mean for us? What does governance mean? All those issues that you have to get good at if you're going to sustain the organization for the future. And then we always, every year, spend some time visiting our senators and representatives in their offices. That's the last day of our meeting usually. So those meetings are not open, but we're looking at broader kinds of meetings in perhaps different places in the country for those who have signed up as members, because we have individual members, we have coalitions as members, we have congregations as members. So we're just beginning to address what are their needs, how do they want to interact with us, what do they need from us, what do we need from them. So it's a work in progress.
Well, it sounds like it's a board. It's an annual board meeting. It's not a meeting of all of your 100 members.
It really is an annual board meeting at this point. Mm-hmm. But this is just morphing. You know, we haven't done it for very long yet, so we're trying to plan what would be most helpful to others who are doing this kind of work or maybe need support in doing this kind of work.
But anyone wanting more information could go to that sistersagainsttrafficking.org. That is your email address.
Yes, that's right.
That right?
Mm-hmm.
Great. They can find out more about that. Brittany, do we have any questions for Sister Anne?
We do have a question from the line of Elizabeth Pienta.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi there. One of the members in our group, Sister Mary, has a question.
We're just a small group of women in a retirement facility. And I'm thinking, what are the practical ways that a group like this can do anything? I had the experience of being with a friend of mine in Dublin, Ireland, and she is a Sister of Mercy, and she would go to hotels and have like a group at the hotel. They would know she was coming to instruct them on what to look for with people coming in. And I thought that was a marvelous idea, but I'm sure you have a lot of other programs. That's what I wanted to ask about. How can a group like us do anything about this, you know?
Sister Anne, that's a great question. You said that just in Cleveland you've done about 1,800 presentations. Do you have an outline that someone like this person from the retirement community might be able to use? Do you have a format that others could adopt and use in their communities?
Yes, we do. And I would just probably say along with that is that we always update and keep our presentations credible, and we do vary our presentations depending on the kind of group. So we will do it very differently for students in middle school or high school than we would do for healthcare professionals, for instance. There are always things that anyone can do, and I would never dismiss praying for victims and for the perpetrators of this crime. I think that's essential to help eliminate slavery, which is really what we want to do. Other things can be petitioning your senators and your congresspeople to pass these laws that are really necessary to eliminate slavery in the supply chain, for instance, which is one of the bills that is pending right now. So there are plenty of things to do. We do have a page of what can you do that I can send to you, Julie, if you want to have it to send out to people. It's somewhat Cleveland-focused, but it gives ideas about things that people could do. And it really does depend on where you are, and we just always say, well, bloom where you're planted. See what can help in your area.
It sounds as though what you're doing in Cleveland is sort of a blueprint that other cities that experience big events could do, although it doesn't have to be that big event. It could be a big college football game, right? It can be something like that. It doesn't have to be a big national event. But
We were working on this long before. Yeah, long before the convention was coming to town, we were working on this because we wanted a coordinated response anyway. So it really can be any kind of event. I know there was a lot of hype around the Super Bowl and saying it's the biggest thing. Well, that's sort of been debunked. There are trade shows, business trade shows, that attract more potential trafficking. So the research shows that we need to be somewhat careful with the statistics that we use and the kind of information that we put out there, because you don't want people thinking that you're not credible. And so we work very hard at that, so that what we do say is something that is true and believable and also gives people some sense of what they might do, what to look for, how to report, whom to call, not intervene on your own because it's too dangerous, all those practical kinds of things that people really need to be aware of. And most times we find that an audience now has heard of human trafficking, but they don't ever think it happens in their neighborhood. They think it maybe happens in Vietnam or Cambodia, but not here. And we know it happens. One of our survivor friends says it's in every zip code. You just have to look.
And among the presentations that you have for hospitality people, specifically because it sounds like that, when you mentioned trade shows, it sounds like hospitality would be part of the equation whenever you have a coordinated effort.
Yes, we do. We've been collaborating with the Ohio Hotel and Lodging Association to do that, along with representatives from the Sheriff's Department and the Rape Crisis Center here in town, because we have to work together on this. We don't do it alone, that's for sure.
Wonderful example of collaboration. How about some other calls?
We have a question from the line of Fran Gorshak.
Hi, Maureen.
This is Sister Fran Gorsuch with Sister Sponsor Corps.
Hi, Sister Fran.
Hi, how are you, Julie?
Good.
Good. I'm calling from downtown Baltimore, Sponsor Corps Baltimore Hospital. I actually have two questions. Well, a question and then a kind of a comment. Thanks so much for the information. My congregation is part of a group in Baltimore called the AWE program. It's Asylee Women's Enterprise, and we work with women who are seeking asylum in the U.S. that is often confused, I think, by people with human trafficking. And I just wondered if anybody knows if there is a group similar to Catholic Sisters Against Human Trafficking that deals with the asylee issue. And the second question came from the director of our volunteer program, who was just on a cruise with her husband. And never having been on a cruise myself, and I'm not looking for contributions, but never having been on a cruise, this would not even have entered my thinking, I don't think. But she said that, you know, as they talked with some of the staff on the cruise, on the ship, it was a very reputable cruise line, you know, their hours and their pay. It sounds like, I'm not saying that it is a trafficking, work trafficking, or labor trafficking issue, but do you know if there's any, I looked on the website, but do you know if there's any organization that's really doing some work around that? And I'm thinking particularly of educating Catholics who, you know, take cruises through their parishes or through their diocese or whatever. It's just another avenue that may touch into the reality in some people's lives of the way that they take vacations in terms of an awareness, et cetera.
Well, let me first ask Sister Ann Victory, and then I'm going to ask Melissa. Anything national or international about asylees or anyone working on the issue of cruise laborers and cruise ships?
I don't know of anybody working on asylees, although I believe the probably Catholic Charities might have some association with that, but we don't directly work with asylum seekers unless they also happen to be trafficked, and then there may be a connection. In terms of the cruise lines, I know there's an international effort called the Code, and it is specifically focused on preventing abuse of children who are being exploited for sex and travel and tourism. So one of the things we advise people when they are planning a vacation is to check with the hotel, with the airline, with whatever place they intend to stay to ask if they've signed on to the code, because it really addresses, we don't want this kind of abuse happening to in our facilities. We train all of our staff to recognize it. We don't want any of our suppliers to even be involved in any aspect of it. So that's one thing that people could do. I know airlines, many of them have become ambassadors against the issue of human trafficking. They've been educated. Flight attendants have been educated to recognize it. I don't know about cruises. We haven't thought about that. And I don't. Well, maybe there are cruises on Lake Erie out of Cleveland, but they're little daytime cruises. They're not the big ones. So haven't had that opportunity. But there may be somebody in the country who is doing that. I just don't know about it.
Yeah, thanks.
Let me ask Melissa now information either about the cruise industry or about anything for asylees, and then we'll open up to other people who might have heard of something.
So, you know, I am still new to USCCB, and I'd like to take those questions, both of them, back to Hillary Chester here, and she might have she might be plugged into some organizations working on these issues. So I'll ask her and let you all know if she knows of any.
Great. Good question, Sister Fran.
Thank you.
How about some other questions? Brittany, anyone else on the line?
Yes, we do have a question from the line of Tiffany Reibel.
Thank you.
Hi,
for your
go ahead.
I'm calling about the Heal Trafficking Network. It represents health professional education, advocacy, and linkage. They put out a request for the New York legislature is asking for support to pass intervention and assessment in healthcare facilities, and this would be a standard of practice if it is passed in New York, and then it may go to other states. Is that something that the Catholic health organizations can participate in?
Tiffany, if you send it to me, we can certainly take a look at it and put it on our website. We're always interested. Sometimes things start in the states and they keep on and they go elsewhere. Melissa, do you get involved with state legislation or are you mostly focused on the federal?
We're mostly on federal. It's something that we could raise with the policy group, but it would need to be a decision of our entire policy team. So I'd have to raise it up. Usually we're on the federal level.
Great. Well, Tiffany, we'll look forward to hearing from you.
This is Sister Ann. In terms of the HEAL group, they have wonderful resources. I've been a part of that for the last few years. In terms of the latest kinds of research or information regarding caring for potential victims of both labor and sex trafficking. So it's a very active, good group to become familiar with, because of the work that they do throughout the country.
Great. I'm going to check out to see if we have that on that resource on our website. How about any other questions or comments?
You have a question from the line of Felicidad Chavez.
Yes. I'm a member of Sister of Sorrowful Mother and also very active with our health senior health system on human trafficking. I'm part of the Via Christi Health Human Trafficking Group. And we have already a lot of information about the health system. And we have presented our program to the CHA last year. And now our system, which is a member of the Ascension, are starting to do all to all our ministry, to all these hospitals that we have to start this whole program. But Via Christi Health System in Kansas, Wichita, Kansas, is a very good program, well organized, well coordinated, and everything. It has received so many awards already from the state and things like that. And that is kind of like, rather than inventing the wheel, we had everything almost set up for that program. And in fact, the Ascension Health System is adapting the program we had at Via Christi.
This is Sister Ann. Thank you very much. We consulted with Via Christi as we were trying to address the issue here in the Cleveland area. And because we have four major health systems here, we wanted all four of them to work together. And they usually compete. So getting them to work together on this is like a major accomplishment that we're pretty surprised we were able to pull off.
We have on our website, under the human trafficking website, if you look in the resource section, it has CHA member resources. And I'm pretty sure, I'm just looking up it now, but I'm pretty sure we have the Via Christi, just an outstanding set of resources. And so quick to share, and we really appreciate that. But Via Christi has been a real leader in this issue. Great. Okay, how about other questions or comments, either for our two speakers or if there's just something that you'd like to tell the group about what's going on in your area?
And we do have a question or comment from Sharon O'Brien.
Oh, hi, Sharon. We're glad you could join us.
Well, thanks. One question. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, but you seem to be breaking up a bit. Are you on a regular phone?
A cell phone. So we'll see if this is better. So I was emailing in a clinic, the Catholic Legal Immigration Network, and maybe someone's on the phone from them, wondering whether they address asylees, so we could grab that information. I wanted to share the information about the upcoming symposium on domestic violence, and of course there's an association between domestic violence, intimate partner abuse, and human trafficking. And we're grateful that everyone who received the newsletter about this phone call, there was the information about how to register. It's July 7th and 8th at Catholic U. Once you get there, we cover all the costs, including lodging. We can follow up with the link.
We're having some trouble hearing you, Dr. O'Brien. We have, but if I can just repeat what I think you're talking about, is that Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. is holding a symposium on domestic violence. I've seen the program. It just looks outstanding. It's going to be July 7th and 8th, and it sounds like you are accepting registrations. And if anyone wanted more information, if you contact me, I'll certainly put you in touch with Dr. O'Brien and the people who are putting that on. But it just looks like a wonderful program.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Brittany, someone else on the line?
Your next question comes from Linda Lauderdale.
Hello, it's Linda Lauderdale from Wheaton Franciscans Healthcare. I'm Community Wellness and Outreach Manager here at Wheaton, and I was given the assignment to find out more about what you all are doing. And the other thing, they'd like me to do a presentation, so I'm wondering on your website, do you have just a presentation that outlines exactly what you're all about and what they can do to help?
I'll start, and then I'll see if our two speakers have something. But if you go to CHA's website,
okay,
chausa.org,
www.cisrf.org/human-trafficking.
Okay.
And then along the left-hand side, there's resources.
Okay.
And in that resources section, you'll find CHA members, and the Via Christi PowerPoint is there, and there's some others as well.
Okay.
So I think you'll find a couple of presentations. And
it's okay for me to go through and review them and, you know, give them out at different places, because we go out into the community and do our presentations. We're doing right now breast health, diabetes education, and what else are we doing in the community? Yeah, that's just a couple of things that we are doing. And the senior VP wanted me to be a part of this group so that I could get that information out to the various communities wherever we show up at as an outreach.
Great. Well, let me know if you have any trouble finding it, but it's always a good idea to credit if you're using someone else's PowerPoint to just say,
of course. That's why I want to tell the people the right thing, you know?
Yeah.
And not just what I think.
And Catholic Health Initiatives, CHI, has a wonderful module and a quick reference guide. So take a look at what they have there.
Module. Okay. Thank you so much.
Great.
And
thanks for calling.
I'm so blessed to be on the call today. I've tried a couple times, and this is the first time I've been able to connect in.
Oh, well, I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad you were successful, Brittany.
Thank
how
you.
About do we have some other calls?
Not at this time.
All right.
The other very credible resource for information would be Polaris.
I'm glad you mentioned that. And that is on our website. They're really the go-to place, aren't they, Sister Ann?
Yes, they really are. And they are the ones who operate the National Human Trafficking Hotline. So they really know what they're talking about. And they also have the most current information on the numbers of calls that they are getting from various parts of the country, which is an education in itself. So, And you can call them with questions, you can email them with questions, and they will respond.
Great.
They have great facts.
We do have a question from Bonnie Hoffman. Hey, Bonnie, go ahead. Hi, this is just a logistics question. When I called in a while ago, they asked me for a code, and I didn't see any on the email, and it did take a while to get through. So am I missing something?
No, you're not missing anything. We'll look into that. You weren't supposed to have a code.
You weren't supposed to
need a code. So we'll look into it, make sure it goes a little easier, because someone else had trouble getting in. So we'll see what the trouble was. So sorry about let's take time now for anyone who would like to report on what they're doing in their area. It doesn't have to be a question, just to say what's going on in their area or anything they want to share with others in the group.
If you would like to make a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad.
One thing I might add is that if you go on our website and look at the resources, the overview section, we have some sample videos you might want to listen to. There's one from Dignity. There's one from USCCB called Stop Slavery. And there's a TED Talk by our own Sister Ann Victory. It's right there. So there are just some things that you might be able to incorporate into some of your talks. Brittany, do we have someone on the line?
We don't have anyone.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we can wind down. Let me ask Melissa, do you have any last words or something that you'd any summary that you'd like to make?
I would just add to the conversation we were having about resources that we have some on our website as well. So that's usccb.org. And if you go there, you need to go to the offices, which is at the top right. You can go to our anti-trafficking program page. And we have a whole list of kind of it covers what we're doing, some resources, and also links to other organizations that are working on this and reports. So that's another good place to find some information and stay up to date on some of our initiatives.
Great. Thanks very much. Sister Ann.
Yes.
Some final words?
I don't think I have anything in particular other than to say thank you for the interest, and let's keep working together on this issue. And my final word would be yay, Cavs.
Well, congratulations to the whole city. I understand that Sister Ann is one of the only people working today. Everybody else is out celebrating.
Everybody's celebrating.
I want to thank all of you who are on the call and for participating. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll look forward to talking to you again. The next call that we have is December 7th at the same time. But feel free in between to let us know about any new resources that you've got, and we're glad to put you in touch with these speakers and with others. Thank you very much, Melissa, for filling us in on what's happening legislatively and with USCCB, and Sister Ann Victory, thank you very much for filling us in on the Sisters Against Human Trafficking and the events in Cleveland. I wish you all a blessed and safe and healthy summer. God bless everybody.
Thank you.
The call is now ending.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.